Today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is being learned live from the Yerushalayim Hills of Mevaseret. And we're coming down to Kabbalah HaTorah here in Yeshiva. And no better halacha to do than Siman Shin Yud, Sif Gimel. As an introduction to Sif Gimel, this Sif relates to a very pervasive concept in Hilchas Muktzah. It is what's called Migo D'Iskatzoi L'Bein HaShmashos Iskatzoi L'Kula Yoma. Any item that was unfit during Bein HaShmashos is rendered irreversibly Muktzah. It remains Muktzah the entire Shabbos, even if it later becomes fit for use. The Shulchan Aruch here is going to inform us that Muktzah is only irreversible when it was already present during Bein HaShmashos. If an item became Muktzah after Bein HaShmashos, it remains so only as long as it is actually unfit. Or in the Gemara's terminology, Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. There is no Muktzah for a portion, a part of Shabbos. Now, this does not mean that an item cannot become Muktzah after the onset of Shabbos. Right? Any item that is unfit for use is Muktzah, even if this occurred during Shabbos. Rather, it means that the Muktzah status of such an item is reversible. If it once again becomes useful during Shabbos, it is no longer Muktzah. So the intent of the statement is that there is no really irreversible Muktzah for a part of Shabbos. But it can be Muktzah for that time when it is an item with no use. You should also know that although in the case that we're discussing here, the principle of Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos is relevant to irreversibility alone. Right? There are other ramifications as well. As we'll see coming up soon enough. The underlying idea is that an item can only be mentally cast aside from Shabbos use at Bein HaShmashos. After that, the mental casting aside is irrelevant, and its muktzah status depends upon its actual state at each moment. We begin. Sif Gimel. Bein be'isar achila, bein be'isar tiltol. Kol dover shayaroi bein hashmashos. Im eira bo dover shenizkalkol bo bayom, v'chazar v'niskan bo bayom, chazar lehetero, aval dover shehuksa bein hashmashos, aser kol hayom. So regarding both the iser of eating muktzah and the iser of moving muktzah, if an item that was suitable for use during Bein HaShmashos became ruined on Shabbos by some occurrence, and it was subsequently repaired on that very day, it reverts to its permitted status. However, an item that was muktzah during Bein HaShmashos of Erev Shabbos is going to be usher the entire day. Now we look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yud Dalid. Bein b'isser achila, regarding both the isser of eating as well as moving, hay bein havi revusa tfei bereisha le'inyan isser achila. In this particular sif here, which permits both eating and moving the item in that specific order, the road to lomar delomi boi le'inyan tiltol da'alma. So what he's saying is that the beginning of that statement, which refers to the iser of eating, it's the more mechudishtik of the two. And the intent here is to say that not only with regards to merely moving muktzah do we certainly rule that there is no muktzah for half of Shabbos, right? Lomi boi l'inyan tiltul ba'alma b'vaday amrinan de'ein muktzah l'chati Shabbos umutter l'taltel. Right, there's no muktzah for half of Shabbos so that one can move the item when umutter, right, l'taltel achar shnistalek me'lav she'im muktzah, and that one can move the item when the muktzah status is removed, meaning when it once again becomes edible. Ela filu l'achol mutter. One is even permitted to eat it. Now, eating muktzah, okay, we have not discussed this yet, but I mentioned it, is really a more severe isser than moving it. Shulchan Aruch here is basically telling us that even the more chomer isser of eating, that also departs when the item once again becomes fit for use. Now, what is the basis for the greater chumrah attached to eating muktzah? So the Chasam Sofer in Maseches Besa explains that the isser of eating muktzah is derived from the pasuk, and it shall be, right, it shall be on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring. And it could actually be a doraisa isser. And even if it's not a doraisa isser, and it's just an asmachta, it's still a allusion to which Chazal, you know, basically attributed their rabbanon. And this too is a basis for greater stringency and chumrah. We continue now. Sif katon tes vav im erabo davar. If an item became ruined on Shabbos by some occurrence, kagon Mishnah Berurah says sheyardu gishamim al atzimukim v'nispachu ad she'enan ruya la'achila. For example, rain fell on the raisins after they had fully dried and they swelled to the point that they were inedible. Right? V'achakach shezavsan hashemesh v'nisyabshu ad she'nasu ruyin chazer le'atero. So that if the sun subsequently goes ahead and parches them and dries them to the point that they were once again edible, they will revert to their permitted status. Vatam, what's the reason? The reason is because there is no, as we said in the introduction, irreversible muktzah for a portion of Shabbos. Kevan shebein hashmashos haya roi. Meaning there's no irreversible muktzah as long as it was fit for use during bein hashmashos. Kevan shebein hashmashos haya roi. Kasa vataz, the Taz writes, Ismael Shemol Bo B'Shabbos, if you have a Mila knife with which a Mila was done on Shabbos, Shemol Bo B'Shabbos, Ein L'Taltalo Achar HaMila. Person, it cannot be moved after the Mila, this Mila knife, Zaha Muktzahu Machmas Chisaron Kis, because it's Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. The other makvich of olishtamish bo davar acher, because a person is particular not to use a mila knife for any other purpose. People do not cut corned beef with their mila knife. Udelo kamekilin l'talta losoi mitam de'ain muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos. This is unlike those who are makel and allow one to move it since there's no muktzah for a portion of Shabbos. Taha, because according to the Taz, this kula doesn't apply. Why? Dahab ben Hashmashos gamkei haya muktzah machmas chisaron kis ve'ein l'taltalo oz l'shun davar. Here, because the knife was muktzah machmas chisaron kis during ben Hashmashos as well, and during ben Hashmashos it was aser to be moved for any other purpose. Right? V'alkein afal pi she'omei l'machar l'meleches mila, and therefore, even though a knife is meant to be used.
Achar gemar sorech shelo, at the end of the day, after he finishes using it, chozer l'iser tiltol shel bein hashmashos, al kain yatnienu ba'osa cheder shehu dar shehu mal shom. So once it's no longer needed, it is once again subject to the iser of moving it that's established at Bein Hashmashos, and the Mayel should therefore put the knife away within the room where he has performed the Mila. V'amagin Avram, the Simin Shin Lamed Aleph, Sif Katan Hey, Maskim Imo, Gam Kein Be'iker Hadin. Ach, Daito, Sheyesh Lahachmir, Sheba'od, Sheizmel Be'yado, Lo Yani Fenu Mi'yado, Ad Sheyani Fenu Be'makar Mishtamer, O sheyolichenu lebeso. The Magen Avram, although he agrees with the Taz with respect to the basic halacha, however, he holds that one should be machmir and take care that while a knife is still in his hand, not to put it down until he places it in a safe location or carries it home. Why? The chol muksa shu biyadai, because any muksa that is already in one's hands, you could be metaltalo le'eza makom shiyirtza. he can move it to wherever he wants. El b'simin shin ches sif gimel. We saw earlier shin ches sif gimel. Imhu gam kain b'makom hamishdamer. No, sorry. Imhu gam kain poreya. Now, if the moel is also performing the priya, right, which is necessary to get rid of the remnants of the foreskin and the mila, this follow-up action, generally done with the fingernails, is referred to as priya. And that's what tzarech laniacha ismel miyado. And therefore, the moel has to put down the knife. Kasav el yoraba sheyekabel acher miyado v'hu yalichenu sham lemakom hamishdame. El yoraba writes that someone else should take it from his hands and take it to the safe location. Umikomakom b'diyeved, still bottom line b'diyeved, and menicho miyado b'diyeved, if the moel had put the knife down, yesh chashash lo yiganev sham, and there's a concern that maybe it will be stolen. So mitzadeh el yoraba, the el yoraba is inclined to paskin that yesh lismoch al ramah b'shach, you can rely on the ramah and the shach in your adeya, who Sovrim the Mutil of Haltalel, they hold that it is permitted to move it. Vaviu haChachmas Adam b'Hilchas Mila, and the Chachmas Adam, okay, also brings it leHalacha. Now, what's the basis for this Kula Dika approach? So, it's the approach of the Mashal, and he explains that Muksa Machlas Chisaron Kiss is based on the owner's attitude, since as the Ben Hashmashos, he has no intention of using the item on Shabbos, and he has cast it from his thoughts, and it is rendered muktzah. If, however, a moel intends to perform a milah on Shabbos itself, he doesn't cast the usage of the knife from his thoughts, and is therefore not rendered muktzah, even after he has performed the milah, and does not anticipate using the knife anymore, it is nonetheless not rendered muktzah for the remainder of Shabbos, based on the principle of ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. If it was not rendered muktzah during Bein HaShemashos, it will not become muktzah at all. So you could ask, why is an already used mila knife different from the rain-swollen raisins discussed in the sif, which do become muktzah during Shabbos for as long as they aren't fit? So the Yamshal Shlomo, the Marshal, basically says he applies his reasoning specifically to items that are essentially usable and whose muktzah status is based on their owner's attitude. A mila knife, for example, is essentially usable for a number of purposes, but it's nonetheless muktzah since the owner is particular that is not used for anything else, rendering it muksa machmas chisaron kis. In such cases, the owner's attitude can render an item muksa at the onset of Shabbos alone, if, as in the present case, he intends to use it on Shabbos, and therefore he cannot render it muksa at Bein HaShemashos, and he cannot render it muksa in the midst of Shabbos. By contrast, the muksa status of rain swollen raisins is not based on their owner's attitude or intentions. They are muktzah because they are essentially unusable. This objective form of muktzah applies whenever the item in question is in fact unusable. Okay, so this is how the Ramah and the Shach agree with this psak of the Marshal. And here the Mishnah Berurah says, brings the Elio Rav, and it says, in a case of concern, this gets stolen, you can be makel like the Shita, but just to be aware, the Taz, as he said, that one should not move the knife unnecessarily prior to performing the mila. And this is the approach, okay? In fact, there's a minhag that the baby's father hands the mila knife to the moel to demonstrate that he's appointing him his shliach. The post can discuss whether this is permitted on Shabbos, and Rav Yashiv paskins, okay, that it is. And the Taz fundamentally understands that the knife is muksa except with regards to performing the mila. That's his shita, and that's how we're nayeg lechatchila. Now, there's a little subtle difference between the Taz and the Magen Avram. Like, the Taz hold that the knife is muksa from the outset, except vis-a-vis the performance of the mila. The Magen Avram hold it's not muksa at all until after the mila has been performed, and it ceases to have a foreseeable Shabbos use. According to the Magen Avram's approach, if a moel plans to perform a number of milas on Shabbos, the knife isn't muksa until he completes the last one. There's a lot of complexities to these shitas, and this is how we hold. Sif tes zayin, aser kol hayom, it's aser the entire day. And the Mishnah says the Iker Achana Mibaod Yom Bai, because the basic preparation of an item for Shabbos use must occur while it is still day on Erev Shabbos. Kedichsiv Vahaya Bayoim Hashishi Veichinu Es Asher Yaviu. So therefore, this is the principle. This Mishnah Brura is explaining the principle of midi diskatzai ben hashmashos diskatzai l'chol Shabbos. If something is muksa ben hashmashos, it is muksa for the whole day of Shabbos, even if it becomes usable and edible. V'zeh halo b'tchilas kisas ayom huk tzu, and this, right, however, was cast aside from usage from the beginning of the onset of the day of Shabbos. V'zeh halo b'tchilas knisas hayoim huktza milishtamish bo. V'zeh halo b'tchilas knisas hayoim huktza milishtamish bo. Okay? This was cast aside from usage from the beginning of the onset of the day of Shabbos. Sif Dalad. Groigerois v'tzimukim shahayu muktzim ukeshegia bein hashmashos kvar nisyabshu v'heim ru'uyim la'achila. Af alpi shelo yodu habaylim ba'oysa shah shenisyabshu v'yachak kach noide lehem shebein hashmashos kvar yuveshim mutter. So here we have that regarding dried figs and raisins that were initially muktzah before Shabbos, but dried out and became edible by the time Bein Hashmashos arrived, even though the owner was not aware at that time that they had dried, and he only later became aware that they were already dried during Bein Hashmashos, they are still mutter. Sif Katan Yudzayin. Af al pi shelo yadu, Ratzalomar, meaning, Bahava mi the machma zeh chal alay yushay muktzah. And one might have thought that due to the owner's lack of awareness, these fruits should attain the status of muktzah, to huktza midaitam elu haperos b'shabbos zu, since they were cast aside from the owner's thought with regard to this Shabbos. So kamash malan, the Shulchan Aruch here is informing us, to lo haminyan hachi, we don't say this. This is not the case. Because he only diverted his thoughts from them for as long as it would take them to dry. And they had already dried and were thus mukhan, prepared for use before the onset of Shabbos. Now, the Prima Gadim understands that this kula only applies in cases where the owner anticipates that the item will at some point become fit for use. In the present case, for example, the owner expects the figs or raisins to dry and become edible. He just doesn't know when. Where, however, the owner does not expect the ayin to become fit at all, it remains muksa, even if it became fit before Bein Hashmashos. For example, a usher food fell into a pot of permitted food before Shabbos, resulting in a usher mixture, which is useless, and therefore muksa on Shabbos. However, unbeknownst to the owner, more permitted food was added to the pot prior to Bein Hashmashos, enough to nullify the forbidden food and render the mixture mutter. Although the mixture was in reality fit to eat at the onset of Shabbos, it's nonetheless muksa since the owner did not know this and had no reason to expect it. He does, however, the Prima Gadim quote the Lavush, who seems to be megel even in such a case, and he leaves this issue unresolved. We are up to Sif Hey 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 Hey. Now, the Shulchan Aruch we saw in Sif Beis has stated that edible food is muksa if and only if two conditions have been fulfilled at the onset of Shabbos. The chiyah biyadayim, he has actively pushed it aside, meaning he has taken an action which shows that the food is not meant, at least at present, to be eaten. And two, the food is currently inedible or will soon be inedible if left in its present situation. If these conditions were present during Bein Hashmashos, the food is muktzah for the entire Shabbos, even if it becomes edible at some point. The classic case of a muktzah item that fulfills these criteria is figs or raisins placed in the sun to dry. Because once they begin drying, they become inedible until they fully dry. In the coming up sif, the Shulchan Aruch addresses a shtickle variation of the scenario. Figs and raisins were placed in the sun to dry, and they partially became dry before Shabbos. to the extent that they had already become somewhat edible at that time. Now, had they completely dried and become entirely edible before Shabbos, they certainly would not be muksa. However, since they were only somewhat edible, they are rendered muksa, but not like full gogeres with simukim, which are totally inedible at some point on Shabbos. These are somewhat edible at the beginning of Shabbos. But since they were only somewhat edible, we're going to see that they are rendered muksa unless their owner did hazmana before Ben Hashmashos, meaning that he made a conscious decision to eat them in their current semi-edible state. If they were entirely inedible at the onset of Shabbos, hazmana is not effective. They rendered muksa regardless of their owner's intentions. That is the yisoid of grogeres v'tzimukin. If they were entirely inedible, then no hazmana is going to help. And this sif is going to conclude the series of seifim discussing grogeres v'tzimukin, drying in the sun, and we'll see that the Mishneh Brura is going to then bring up a related point referring to an item that it's only considered muksa, one cannot do anything to ensure that it will be fit for use on Shabbos. The issue of Gemara b'dei Shemayim versus Gemara b'dei Adam, let's see. Grogeres v'tzimukin dechazu v'lo chazu. You have dried figs that are somewhat fit to eat. De'ika inchi de'achlilei ve'ika de'lo achlilei. Some people would eat them and some would not eat them. If the owner did hazmana, okay, to say, I'm going to eat them. So then, nafik lemi teres muksa. V'ilo, but if not, if there was no hazmana, it will be muksa. Avalam einam ru'uyim v'izminam. But if they were totally not ru'ya l'achil, like a grogeres v'tzimukin mamish, hazmana lav nosehi, hazmana, okay, is ineffective. Let's look at the Mishneh Brura, dechazu v'lo chazu, hainu sh'nisyav shuktsat, alagag v'lo yom. As we said, this is talking about where it dried a shtickle on the roof before Shabbos, so it is somewhat edible. And finally, at the end, the Mishneh Brura, going on the end of the Shulchan Aruch, where he says, when it's a pure gogeres v'tzimukin, hazmana is not going to be effective. Dareihem ka'avanim, because they're like stones, v'afar, and soil. Kasu ha'poiskim, poiskim right. Emesayah, this is also a complicated halacha that we just referred to in our intro to the sif. Emesayah minan diskatzoi le'ben hashmashos. When do we say that an object which is cast aside during ben hashmashos and then becomes muksa the entire Shabbos, that's dafka d'dvarim shigamara b'dei shamayim. They hold that it is specifically with regards to items whose completion is in the hands of shamayim. Here the Mishneh Brura introduces a concept that is not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. It's the distinction between gemara b'dei shamayim and gemara b'dei adam. Now we'll give a little bit of a intro so you can understand the rest of this Mishneh Brura. We said earlier in Sif Gimel that if drying figs and raisins were inedible during Ben Hashmashos, they're considered muksa for the rest of Shabbos, even if they later dry out and become edible. This is because they were cast aside from one's thoughts at the onset of Shabbos, and were thus not mukhan, they were not mukhan, prepared for use, from before Shabbos. So based on this concept, the Gemara in Beit asks that pots of food that are boiling hot during Ben Hashmashos should be rendered muksa for the entire Shabbos. Like drying figs and raisins, they fulfill both conditions for muksa pertaining to foods. By placing them on the fire, one has actively pushed aside their use, and they are inedible during Ben Hashmashos. So the Gemara answers that drying figs and raisins are rendered muksa only because Gemara bidei shamayim. Their completion is in the hands of shamayim. A boiling pot does not become muksa because they are Gemara bidei adam. Its completion is in the hands of man. When an item's suitability for Shabbos is in shamayim's hands, as in the case of the grogeres v'tzimukin, which will only dry in sunny weather, then one diverts his thoughts from its usage and is not considered mukhan. When it is in his hands to affect its suitability for Shabbos, he has control, as in the case of a pot, which may be removed from the fire to cool off, etc. He does not divert his thoughts from it. And we will see as we go on now a little bit more in the Mishneh Brura. So he says, Dafka b'dvarim, back to the Mishneh Brura, shegemara b'dei shemayim, kegoin, like grogeres v'tzimukin, like dried figs, and the ein nigmar in ela al yedei chom hachama. Okay, they are only completed, rendered edible by the heat of the sun. B'shema yeh yom anan, b'shabbos. V'azach d'ayta minayu, And since it is possible that there'll be a cloudy day on Shabbos, he diverts his thoughts from them. Aval dvar shenigmar, dvar shenigmar b'day adam. He goes tomorrow Mishnas on Leim Ma'ir Be'er Shabbos. But an item whose completion is in the hands of man, such as dates upon which one placed water on Erev Shabbos for the purpose of flavoring the water, after the vaday einam ruuyim b'vein hashmashos. Even though neither the dates nor the water were fit during Bein HaShemashos, lo ha-tamarim lo ha-mayim, neither of them were fit. The halo kaltu tam ha-tamarim shirun lishtiya. Because the water had not yet absorbed enough of the dates' flavor to become fit for drinking. Now, it's not totally clear why the water is muksa before it absorbs the taste of the dates. It's maybe because until the water fully absorbs the taste, the over-diluted flavor is shtickle ichi. Anyway, the gama tzvarim leis ata lo chazi, that's the assumption. And the dates too were not fit to eat at that time. Afilu hachi lo asech daite minayu al yoyim ha-shabbis, shiye mukta machmas zeh, toha biyado lahashoysan ad lemachar sheyiklatu tam ha-timarim. Nonetheless, the owner did not divert his thoughts from them vis-a-vis the day of Shabbos, which would have made them muksa as a result. Rather, the items are not muksa. Why? Because it is in their hands to leave them until the next day, when the water will have absorbed the flavor of the dates. And here the Mishnah Brura has stated that an item that is gemara b'day adam is not rendered muksa for the entire Shabbos. And he doesn't say whether it is muksa before it becomes fit for use. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish, they hold that it's not muksa at all, even while still unfit. This needs more discussion. Now you could ask, why is flavoring water with dates considered gemara b'day adam? After all, once one has poured water on the dates, there's nothing he can do to expedite the flavoring process. Why is this considered more in the hands of man than placing figs and raisins in the sun to dry? So some achronim explain as follows. When one places figs and raisins to dry, he cannot be certain that this will occur on Shabbos, since the weather can turn cloudy, as we said. Dates soaking in water will impart their flavor at a predictable rate. If one expects this to occur on Shabbos, this is enough to be included in the kula of Gemara B'day Adam. So according to this explanation, the item's completion need not be literally in the hands of man. It has to just be predictable. The Meiri in Beitza presents a similar mahalach, but he stipulates that the process must have at least been initiated by a person. Can't just be that it's predictable. A process that occurs entirely, according to the Meiri, without human intervention is categorized as bidei shemayim. And if the item in question was unfit during Bnei Shemashos, it will be muksa for the entire Shabbos. So in a certain sense, this approach takes in the hands of man, Gemara B'day Adam, literally, Ad Tan.